And now the time here in London is 12 noon.
And the time here in Cologne is 1 o'clock.
And here in Cyprus, it's 9 a.m.
And the time here in New Zealand is 10 p.m.
And the time here in Hong Kong is 3 o'clock.
And here in Calcutta, the time is 8 o'clock.
And the time here at Hamburg is 3:29 and 17 seconds at the third shop.
And the time here in Canada is 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, God.
And the time here in Cairo is. All right, where is it? Who's got my watch? Which means that once again, it's time for 11 Way Family Favorites. Well, that's all we have time for today, so it's goodbye from London, Cologne, Cyprus, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Calcutta, Hamburg, Canada, Malaya, Cairo, and Tel Aviv. Okay, come on, lads, I'll buy you all a drink. That was the Angus Prune tune, or Sig for short, which brings dancing to the microphone the unexplained and undiscoverable talents of Timbrook Taylor, John Otto, Vold Strangler, Sig, Oyster Haters, Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti. John, or may I call you Strangler, please speak your mind.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I'll leave that again.
Another I'm Sorry I'll Read It Again social survey. And today, we look at a population explosion. Today, in Britain, every minute, a baby is born.
Thank you, nurse. Take 60-second sea break.
Families are getting bigger. People are having more children. How does it happen?
Oh, come on.
This is a map of England. On it are several red spots. They mark the population density.
Oh, it's a relief.
It's a relief map. The population is concentrated in the big cities.
The population is concentrated in the big cities. Oh, very good. David Hatch, the boy genius.
But now, isolated red dots are springing up. They are satellites, or new towns. One such new town is Upper Flimsey in Lancashire. It was there that our team paid a visit to find out what life is like in a new town.
I'm standing in a fine new estate in Upper Flimsey. Not long ago, there was nothing here but flocks of sheep. Then several hundred luxury bungalows were built. And the result is a flock of the most comfortable sheep in England. Over there was once marshland. Now there's a new school. Only a few signs hint at the lake that used to be as the school children sit peacefully learning French in their water wing. It's a remarkable school with a refreshing anything-goes approach, and amongst its old boys are many famous women. I spoke with the Miss Catherine Nutsinmay. It was break time, and the children were enjoying their free scotch and soda. Catherine, this is very much a free education.
Oh, no, it costs a fortune. We believe in encouraging our children to educate themselves. We have mixed classes, bright and stupid. We teach less of the classics and more of what they really need to know in adult life. So we just put girls and boys together and let them get on with it.
Doesn't that lead to a certain amount of...
Well, it does, yes. But when they've got that out of their system, they're a lot easier to teach. Altogether quieter, more... exhausted.
I see you do most of your teaching by television.
Yes.
And what's the result of this?
We have the only class of under 8 in Britain that can all do perfect impersonations of David Frost. Children?
Hello. Good evening and welcome. That is right.
Schooling here in Flimsey Newtown is certainly fun. Leaving age is 16, but many of the pupils stay on till they're 50 or 60.
There is here a problem of juvenile delinquency. It requires a modern approach, and giving it one is the Reverend Clint Fye. Vicar, I believe you've had problems with drugs.
It's not so bad now. I can usually get them at the club on Saturday night.
Will you, You have spent a lot of time with youngsters.
Yes, yes, I have indeed. I wanted to really get to know them. So one night, I went inside a coffee bar. The room was mainly full of young people. Of course, they twigged me. So I came clean. I said, look here, you cat. I know I'm a bit of an old square, but I want to help you to groove. And you know, they rather like that. So, after taking a few minutes to think it up, one girl told me she was the illegitimate child of a French nymphomaniac who'd had an affair with a Negro and afterwards married a transvestite monk. This was what I wanted to hear. Since then, I've realized that we religious Japanese have got to give the ordinary people what they want.
Hence the rather controversial name of your church.
Yes, yes. The Chapel of the Very Holy Dog and Partridge.
But really, Upper Flimsy is booming.
Boom, boom.
And of course, behind its prosperity are the local planners, the council, and above all, the mayor, Ben Dover. We were present as he made his speech at the annual meeting of the town council.
Came to Flimsy New Town. Our treasurer, Mr. Fuzzwacky, predicted that this place could quite well prove to be easy prey for cunning exploiters out to make some easy bruff. Well, I'm happy to say his optimism was well-founded. Those of you who put money in council, it's been well invested.
Good luck.
We bought 2,000 shares in clothing industry. Skirts are up, trousers are down. Hey, up, hey, up. We now have a model railway station. Ooh. And in time, we'll have a real one.
Good
But we do still have problem of old folk.
Oh.
We've got 1,500 suffering old people here. Last Sunday, I took 50 of them to the seaside. But regrettably, 23 of them found their way back. Which brings me to Harry Buntweaver, our town clerk, who today is leaving us after 50 years. I'm going to give him his gold watch, which he dropped in the gents this morning. And finally, my last proposal. Harry, will you marry me?
I will!
And now, over to the Air Ministry roof for a fog warning.
Well, here on the Air Ministry roof, visibility is right down to 2 feet in front of your...
And now, a song of love from Wilhelmina Oddy and the Average Mothers.
All the men that ladies swoon about seem to come from an age gone by. But we found one we can't do without, and for him we would gladly die. He's a great and gracious lover man, and he's stolen our hearts away. And we'll tolerate no other man to honor and obey.
Trust will see you now, Mr. Oddie.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, thank you.
Very shaky indeed, yes. I expect it was the gorilla in the waiting room. Never mind. I see the guillotine, missed you. Almost. Don't worry, nobody needs 2 years. Now, how did you make out with the distorting mirrors in the lavatory, eh? I bet that gave you a contract, eh? What particular kind of nutter are you?
Well, doctor, I'm very depressed, very depressed.
Ah, depressed nut, eh? Yes, well, yes, do you do lead a clean, healthy life?
Oh, I think so.
Well, there you are, you stupid guest.
I am depressed,
eh? Well, let's see. Have you ever contemplated suicide?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, it solves a lot of problems, you know. It's not a good idea if you're distraught. Tell me, do you ever have an impulse to dress up in women's clothes?
Certainly not.
Pity, I was going to ask you out to dinner. Anyway, I'm going to delve into your private life.
Why?
Well, you never know. Material for blackmail, old jokes, any old rubbish. Lie on that couch, put a pillow behind your head, relax. Wake up!
Sorry.
Now, first, let's see if your reactions are normal. Have a look at this photograph. Do you fancy her?
Oh, I do, yes.
How dare you? That's my wife. Must be mad. Tell me, have you ever had carnal desires for your mother?
Never.
Why, is she ugly?
Married.
Oh, quite. Oh, I see, quite a little moralist, aren't we? Do you fancy your sister?
No.
Well, I do, lovely girl. A sense of comedy. Do you ever watch television comedy?
Yes, I do, but I never laugh.
Oh, that's quite normal.
Never.
Well, you should do. You get thirsty. Oh, dear. Now, have you got a job?
Well, I had, but I lost it, you see, because my hands kept shaking.
No, what were you?
A brain surgeon.
That's funny. I like that. Surgeon came to see me once, you know, kleptomaniac, yes. Open the patient up, whip all his organs and sew him up again. Over 2,000 gallbladders in a box under his bed. And that was before there was a market for them. Now, a few word tests.
Right.
Give me a word, any word, something off the top of your head.
Hair.
No. That's not funny.
No, it wasn't.
Now, try this, sock.
It to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Where?
Trumpet.
Gas.
Bombay.
Cat.
Elephant?
Gas.
Gas?
Light?
Certainly. Oh, gas!
Yes.
Sense of smell. Excellent. Right. Now, how are we going to treat you? Stand at the sink over there and put your fingers in that light socket.
Let it kill me.
You're not as loony as all that, are you?
Can you hypnotize me or something?
Oh, very well. See this, then.
Yeah.
This girl watch.
Yeah,
now, I want you to watch it. Very closely.
All right. Watching
it.
Yes, I'm watching it, yes.
Don't take your eyes off it.
Oh, I won't do that.
I'm going for lunch and I don't want anyone to pinch it.
Hypnotize me.
Look at me. Look deep into my eyes.
Yes.
Deeper.
Yes.
Deeper.
Yes.
Keep looking at me.
Yes, I'm doing.
Into my eyes.
Yes.
Now, what are you thinking?
I think I'm falling in love. What do you think, Doctor?
Some enchanted evening.
You may see a stranger. Here is a police message. The experimental laboratory of St. Mary's Hospital was today broken into, and 3 pints of blood and a dozen white mice were stolen. Police are looking for a vampire cat.
Probably the hit record of the year has been Joe Cocker's With a Little Help from My Friend.
Got that?
This is a sold-out version of a homely old Beatles tune.
Right.
Now, presumably other homely old tunes are in the same treatment.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Where will it end?
Probably here.
Here?
Right.
On every mop head, where has she been? Let her be.
Now follows a party political broadcast on behalf of the Labour Party.
Help!
And now, we present part three of our science fiction serial, Professor Prune and the Electric Time Trousers, or Bags of Time. Basil and Trixie, not forgetting their faithful dog, Spot. Shut up, Spot. Anyway, they've all crashed, thanks to Helmet the Spy in Elizabethan England. Good Queen Bess has sent them to the torture chamber, where they're at the mercy of the executioner, who turns out to be none other than one of the dreaded Aussie robots.
You will be annihilated, Spot. You will be annihilated, Spot.
Oh, goodness. Oh, marvelous. Oh, concrete.
Children, don't panic. Whatever happens, we mustn't lose our heads.
Don't be too sure about that, Cobber.
Don't worry, my dear. I have an idea. I'll give him this pudding. That should appeal to his batter nature.
Oh, you will be annihilated, Spot.
I have another idea. Basil, you play the mouth organ, don't you?
Yes.
Then, today.
You will be annihilated.
Don't be too hasty. Do you remember what it was like in the old days back home? Sitting under a coolibar tree with a Sheila on your knee and a tube of lager in your hand and a jolly jumbuck in your tucker bag.
Shooting kangaroos on Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Riding a duck-billed platypus across the Great Barrier Reef.
Stop it, Cobbett. Stop. You're breaking my heart. Stop.
You You see, old friend, if you came with me, I could take you back to all those things. What do you say?
You will be annihilated tomorrow.
Don't worry, children. Look, he's been crying and he's all rusted up.
I can't move. I can't move.
Come on, now's our chance to escape.
All right, say, Prof, old chap. Hang on a tick.
What is it, Percy?
We can't get out. Look, the door's locked.
We can't get out. We're trapped.
Shut up. Well, we can get out through the window. So our friends clambered out through the window and made their getaway.
Get away.
Outside, it was dark and silent. As they ran across the road, an owl hooted. They found some old clothes on a washing line and disguised themselves. And the professor cut off his beard with the sharp point of an arrow.
Oh, that was an arrow shave.
Shut up, Bart. Now then, we must find the time trousers. And there's only one man we can trust to help us. Sir Francis Drake. We must find him. Come on!
Meanwhile, as the professor and his chums set off to find Drake, a visitor to see the Queen arrives at the gates of Windsor Castle.
Ah, what a sight to see these ancient edifices again. This crumbling facade, these mighty bulwarks, those gnarled and rabid features.
I'll beg and good morning.
Your Majesty, how you startled me. I didn't see you hiding behind that enormous barrel.
What enormous barrel? Who are you?
I am but a man, Your Majesty.
I knew there was something about you that I liked.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
I just couldn't put my finger on it.
I've been away a long time in search of foreign shores.
What shore?
I have a mild bitter, thank you.
Yes, you have been away a long time. And what, is your name?
My name, Your Majesty, is Sir Walter Raleigh, and I have been in the New World in America.
America? And have you brought me anything?
Yes. I did some trading with the natives. I swapped a string of beads for 500 square miles of land.
Oh, you clever boy.
Now, here are the beads, and we have to be out of Scotland by Thursday.
Scotland, eh? Huh. That's quite a bargain. Did you bring back anything else for me?
Yes, Your Majesty. Try this. I think you will like it.
Oh, what do I do with it?
You put it in your mouth, and then you light it and smoke it. Here you are.
What is it?
It's called a potato. Good, 3 and 6 for 20.
Whoa. Taken to the tower.
Wait, Your Majesty, I have some information for you.
Uh-huh.
As you know, we are at war with Spain, and I have a Spanish cousin.
Really?
No, Raleigh.
Oh.
Yes. In fact, he's a Spanish cousin called Monte Carlo Raleigh. Anyway, he tells me the Spanish Armada are planning to attack England this very day.
The Armada? Oh, I'm not a nun.
What? Didn't quite catch that one. I'm out of hearing.
Oh. You have done well, Granny, for nearly got away with that. We must find Drake for the people of their more.
Oh, how it grieves me to leave this historic castle with its majestic battlements, its avenues of oak and beech, and ivy climbing up the wall.
Come down at one side, you'll break a leg.
Meanwhile, the professor and his chums have arrived at Plymouth Hoe.
Look, there's Sir Francis Drake.
Hello, Trez.
What are you doing here?
Well, I'm playing bowls, hen.
Oh, that's very clever. I never could get a note out of those things.
I'm playing.
Hey, which way is it to London, eh?
Hey! Oh, quick, Sir Francis, do something.
Oh, very well.
With that, Sir Francis picked up his bowls and hurled them at the Armada.
Oh, quick, look, he's sunk all the ship.
And he's dragging the Spaniards ashore.
And loading them into a shatterbang.
And that's how Sir Francis Drake drove off the Spaniards.
And you, Professor, you can have anything you desire, as long as it's me.
Run,
ran back to the time trousers and sprang inside. The professor snapped his orders.
Oh, there they go again.
There was no time to lose.
Bezel, quickly press that button, and the time trousers will take off. Ah, we made it. By Jove, that was close.
Oh, I say, Uncle.
It's Bezel, what's the matter?
Help.
Good heavens, look, he's fading away. He's getting fainter and fainter. Good grief, you know what's going on. He's being written out of the serial. Come back, Bessel, come back.
Will the mysterious archenemy succeed in writing Basil out of the serial? Have you really seen the last of Lady Compton? Where is Helmut von Schweinhund? Listen to next week. Will Jennings find back the episode of
Electric Time Trousers.
In that edition of I'm Sorry I Read It Again, there are 189 jokes, which I'm sure you all got. If you've got the other three, then you should be ashamed of yourself. It also contained, though they struggled a bit, Simbrook Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall, and Bilotti. The script was written by Graham Garden and Bilotti, who also wrote the songs. The music was arranged by Liam Cohen and played by Dave Lee and the boys. Well, Dave Lee and the old men. And the show was produced by David Hatch and Peter Tidridge. Before we go, John Otto Cleese has something vital to say.
It's so no! I'm sorry I read that again!